Josh, this is our last segment on the knowledge economy.
I know. I'm not sure whether to cry or celebrate.
Well, keep the tissues and champagne stash. We've got some wrapping up to do first. We've heard from a lot of people during our investigation of Australia's emerging tech industry.
In the first segment, James Cooter told us the story of how he and his wife created his company, Savage Interactive, in a bedroom in Hobart.
You know, after all, everything had been paid, we were left with about 20K in the bank. We decided, well, we're going to just use that to launch Procreate. So we couldn't afford to hire anyone. I had to actually fire a couple of people. There was four of us. There was myself, Lloyd Bottomley, and Cameron Newton, and my wife, Alana. And we actually worked here in my home. We left the office in town, beautiful office in town, and we worked from a bedroom here in Hobart for the first couple of releases of Procreate until it took off, and then we were able to, you know, go back out and get a place, etc., and then expand the business.
The bedroom to boardroom story is all too common in the tech industry, and it has a lot to do with the challenges facing entrepreneurs.
Number one, finance. Aussie investors are wary of startups because they are risky. There are also weird rules about distributing shares and tax breaks.
But we did speak to one investor who thinks the industry is beginning to relax and take notice of startups. And with the help of angel investors, startups are getting a leg up.
The next big worry was a brain drain. The few coders we have here are going overseas, where there are more jobs and bigger pay. And Australia's education system is falling behind on this crucial skill set.
I definitely foresee this as being a massive problem.
We've heard from Belbeth Cooper before. She's the co-founder of a Melbourne-based startup called Hello Code.
From a lot of the people that we've talked to who are further along in their businesses than us, hiring is probably the top thing that comes up in conversations about what they're having trouble with. It's a really common refrain among other startup founders is that they just can't find the talent that they need, which is really frustrating.
But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Coding is starting to invade the curriculum. We talked to an organization called Code Club, which is helping kids get into coding. So in a couple of years, the drought may be over.
There was a general concern about our internet speeds, though. From all the entrepreneurs we spoke to, plus Adam Bandt from the Greens and Labor Senator Kim Carr.
But neither Industry Minister McFarlane nor Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull wanted to talk to us.
Even if we don't have high-speed internet, there are things the government can do to encourage startups.
We found out from Aaron Birkby, the mentor at the incubator Silicon Lakes, that other countries do a lot more to encourage startups than we do.
I remember being in San Francisco, I think it was 2 years ago, and Canada had big, massive billboards up saying, move your startup to Canada, which was, it's bizarre, right? But it's a symbolic gesture.
Yeah.
Lots of other countries have landing pads in Silicon Valley, so they actually have incubators for their startups based in San Francisco. So if you're an Australian, or say Norway, if you're a Norway-based or Norwegian startup, you can actually go and work in San Francisco, but still you're in sort of a home ground turf. Yeah. So they have programs like that. They have tax incentives. So I know New York City introduced some really hefty tax incentives, but same with Singapore. Ireland, I think, has a 3% tax rate for startups. In the UK, angel investors don't pay tax on any investment profits made from very early stage venture investments. So I think there's a number of examples overseas of things that we could be doing.
At the start of the series, we asked, what is keeping these talented people in Australia when there are ample opportunities for them overseas?
The main answer is the weather and the Aussie culture. Although as soon as these techies figure out that they can run their business from Bali, we're screwed.
Cool your boots, Ellen. Australia has a lot to offer. Incubators and accelerators are popping up all over the place. We already noted that finance is getting better. And I even went to an entrepreneur meetup on the beach. And I hate sand.
Yeah, okay. So we have the weather and the culture that comes with being a sunny country. But I think the big takeaway is that we need to change the way we talk about this industry. We need to change how we talk about entrepreneurship.
You mean this?
I mean, I've sold four businesses. I've had 14 in total. And after I sold one of my last ones, my mum said to me, "Great, you're going to go get a real job now." And she is a career entrepreneur. It's like, what is wrong with this conversation? So we need to fix all that.
Exactly. In Australia, we're just too safe. It's all about the proper jobs. You need to study law to get a job at one of the big six. You study finance to get a job at the big four. We don't emphasise risk-taking, creating your own business and your own empire, changing the world.
We also don't talk about how many amazing tech startups there are in Australia.
In the course of doing this series, we spoke to five startups alone. We emailed another 20, and there are about another 30 on our list that we didn't get around to contacting. And those were just the ones we found interesting.
And according to a recent report by PricewaterhouseCoopers, the tech industry will be worth about $100 billion and will have created 500,000 jobs by 2033. To put that in perspective, that's only a little less than what the mining industry makes now, but twice as many jobs. And that's if we change nothing.
So the finance is okay, the culture is okay. If we want to keep all these fabulous entrepreneurs in the country, maybe all that needs to change is the way we talk about tech.
Coding is cool, kids.
That's all from us.
I'm Josh Nicholas.
And I'm Millen Liebeder.
Thanks for your company.
This series was produced in the studios of 2SER for the Community Radio Network.
And produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Wait, you forgot to say keep your ears peeled for our voices.
That's it, Ellen. No more ears. Pass me the tissues.